Elizabeth Stanley is a Georgetown University professor and creator of mindfulness-based mind fitness training, MMFT, taught to thousands in civilian and military high-stress environments. MMFT research has been featured on 60 Minutes, the ABC Evening News, NPR, and in Time magazine. A U.S. Army veteran with service in Asia and Europe, she holds degrees from Yale, Harvard, and MIT.
Wild animals go through traumatic events all the time, but they don't develop PTSD. Domestic animals might, but wild animals don't. Why? Well, that's what I want to explore in this lesson. It's interesting to see how much animals in the wild can go through this process all the time. There's an excellent video clip that you can find on YouTube of a polar bear who's being chased in the tundra by scientists that are flying in a helicopter. He's running along on the tundra, and they're flying behind him with a tranquilizer gun. They want to knock him unconscious so that they can do some tests. So we see the polar bear running, and he gets shot with this tranquilizer gun. He falls unconscious during the highly activated state of flight. He's got his sympathetic nervous system turned on with flight. When we're knocked unconscious with an anesthetic, like this polar bear was, it's actually a medically induced form of freeze, and we humans go through it all the time when we have surgery. So the polar bear then, after they do some tests for an hour, he comes out of his anesthetic and he wakes up. And in this clip, as he's waking up, we get to see him go through a series of moves. First, because he had gone into the freeze while he was running to get away, he first has to go through a process of completing that flight response. So in the video, you see his little legs moving as he completes the flight response. And then we see his body begin to recover from all of that stress activation. He discharges it. And we see that with his legs start shaking. And then his ventral brake comes back online, and we see him take some slow, deep breaths so that his cardiovascular and respiratory systems can become regulated. And finally, we know that he's come out of freeze when he starts to move his head and neck to look around. That's showing us that his ventral parasympathetic nervous system is back online and that he has reoriented to his external environment. In other words, for the polar bear, allostasis is working properly. His survival brain and nervous system automatically moved their way through the hierarchy of defenses. He mobilized energy to deal with the threat. He selected the most adaptive defense to survive this particular situation, being chased by scientists in a helicopter, and he started a flight response. Then, after he had the medically induced freeze, his body naturally recovered from freeze by completing the flight response, discharging all the stress activation, and then returning to his neurobiological baseline. So, we can be pretty sure that this polar bear did not develop PTSD or any other stress-related disease. Allostasis was working the way it's supposed to. Animals in the wild go through this process all the time. And each time through this process, it actually confers survival benefits. In fact, unless they succumb to a predator, animals in the wild complete this process automatically. They encounter a threat, they successfully defend themselves, and then they recover completely afterwards. Each time through this cycle, they add to their toolbox of survival skills, and they widen their window. In humans, however, because we have a thinking brain that can override this automatic process controlled by the survival brain and nervous system, we often impede this recovery process. By now, given all we've covered so far, it should be clear that recovery is not up to the thinking brain. Recovery is a survival brain and autonomic nervous system job. And the survival brain will only turn on recovery functions when it neurocepts safety. We humans often override this recovery process because we don't know what it looks like and most of us were never taught about it. For example, when I was first teaching Marines, they would tell me stories of having been out on patrol in Iraq or Afghanistan. And after the patrol, they would come back inside the wire and they would want to light a cigarette. And they'd be standing there and their hand would start shaking while they were trying to light the cigarette. And they would think, oh my God, I look like I'm such a coward. And so they'd put their hands up under their armpits to stop the shaking. Of course, when they did that, that was their thinking brain overriding the recovery that was naturally trying to happen. As this story shows, we often have thinking brain judgments or narratives that impede our recovery process.